tweet at TodaySOR.
In the early hours of Saturday, February the 14th in 1981, a fire broke out at the Stardust nightclub in Artane in North Dublin. It would become one of the darkest nights in the history of our capital city. 48 people would lose their lives in the fire and another 214 were injured. In the years since that tragedy, families of those who lost their lives so tragically have campaigned tirelessly to try to get to the truth of what happened. Their campaign continues next Tuesday when they walk to the office of the Attorney General to deliver 48,000 signatures calling for the inquest into the fire to be reopened. In a few minutes, I'll talk to Christy Moore, who has supported the families throughout their campaign. But first, with me in studio is Antoinette Keegan. She was in the Stardust on the night. She managed to survive, but two of her sisters, Martina and Mary, died on that awful night. Good morning to you both. Good morning, Christy. Good morning to you, Antoinette. Thank you for joining us on the programme. Antoinette, I suppose it's no coincidence that you went for 48,000 signatures, which you planned to deliver to the Attorney General's office.
It wasn't. It was we agreed that we would do 1,000 cards for each victim that died. And we started it off, the campaign, on the 14th of June, which was my sister's birthday, Mary's. She would have been 57. We could have gotten 96,000 cards done. The campaign went absolutely amazing. We set up stalls north, south, east and west of Ireland. We had the T-shirts themselves were a statement. We didn't have to ask anybody to sign them. The public came to us and it was in the public interest. They wanted to do this for us.
And why does it matter for you and the other families to have, you want this inquest to be reopened? Why does that matter so much?
Because the truth has to be told. There's three inquiries. The three inquiries are inconclusive. The truth has to be put out there. There's one very significant point in this. There's two 999 calls made and there's only one on public record. The most important one hasn't been put on public record. That was from the lady that made the phone call about the major fire in the roof space at 1:43. That has been ignored and that lady has since given us a statement to verify that she made that call, which proves that the three inquiries that we have now are gone.
And the reason that you're going to the Attorney General at this point is because there was a review conducted by now retired Judge Pat McCartan, which recommended that there be no further action taken, and that was in the lifetime of the current government.
That's true, yeah. But we have asked over the years for the coroner to reopen the inquest.
And what more do you think you can find out? Because an inquest is about finding out the actual cause of death. What more can you find out about the deaths of your sisters, Mary and Martina, that you haven't been able to get to up to now?
With all the new evidence now, we have our own independent people. We have our we have a new solicitor, Darren Mackin. He's out of state. We also have a fire expert that's on the Grenfell Terrace. He's a forensic fire pathologist, and we have the barrister. We have no need for any more, right, the government people. We want to do this airway, air terms of reference, no more restrictions. We will get the truth on this. There'll be no more cover-ups, no more whitewashes. The truth will come out with all the forensic pathologists looking at how the children died, how our loved ones died.
And what motivates you to keep this campaign going with such energy? And it's clearly there, it's coming right off you. You had the gathering of the signatures, you could have got twice as many as you got. What keeps you going in this, Antoinette?
Because parents want to know why their children died. My mother wants to know. Mrs. McDermott lost three children. She wants to know. Mrs. Bissett, Mrs. Barrett. There's so many parents out there that are crying out for justice for their loved ones.
And you were there yourself, of course, on the night. I mean, those memories, are they still vivid after, what, almost 38 years?
They're still very raw, yeah. Yeah. It's like it happened yesterday because it's just, we never got counselling. We actually had to counsel ourselves through this campaign, talking to people, telling them our experience of what happened. And people still, like we spoke to, said they'd always remember where they were. It was like the Twin Towers. They just knew where they were when it happened.
And Christy Moore, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Christy, I said earlier that you've been a great supporter from the start to Antoinette and the other campaigners. What do you remember? Where were you when you heard about the Stardust fire?
I was in Thomastown in County Kilkenny playing with the band Moving Hearts.
And was it just before you got to bed or at the end of the gig you heard about the fire?
We just heard the news breaking at night, but back then it was a different world, you know. We just heard this rumour of a big fire in Dublin, and the following morning then the horror was revealed.
And you have remained solid and steadfast in supporting the campaign. You're taking part in this walk to the Attorney General's office next Tuesday. How hopeful can you be, though, Christy, that the message will get across to the government and the Attorney General and that the inquest will be reopened?
Well, I just want to stand beside the Keegans and all the other families. And it's like for many, many years now, I've known these people and I've seen how their hurt and their pain, how it lingers on. And I think the only thing that will alleviate that will is if the truth is revealed. And for some reason, the truth has not been revealed. And that's where the pain is now, the pain of loss. And then on top of that, the pain of the truth being not been revealed.
And you, of course, wrote a song about this tragedy. It was called They Never Came Home. Do you want to remind us of that, Christy?
Well, basically, I mean, my relationship really with the family started when the song ended up in the High Court. And I was very worried about the fact that, you know, how are these people going to feel about my song getting publicity? But when I went to the High Court, many of the families came and supported me. And that's the day that the bond was cemented. I decided that I'll stand with these people for as long as I can. I mean, a bit of the song just... So millions paid out and barristers' fees, a fortune paid over to Butterley, in Poppin' Three, Coolock, Bonnybrook and Artane, the families are abandoned time and again. Days turn to weeks, weeks turn to years, laws favour the rich, or so it appears. A mother still waits for the truth to come home. Injustice breeds anger, and that's what was done. That's just one of the verses.
It's so simple, so evocative, still so powerful, Christy, after all of those years. And why did it become, remind us, it became, as you say, the subject of a legal challenge?
Judge Frank Murphy banned the song and came down kind of heavy on it.
It was argued that it might prejudice any chance of a fair trial in the event of a trial.
Yes.
But it caused you a lot of grief as well. A bit, obviously, nothing to compare with that endured by the families in terms of just, you had an album and this was one of the tracks on the album at the time.
Yeah, but that was nothing really compared to what the families, I mean. But the one good thing about the court case was it refocused. It refocused attention on the injustice that was being visited upon the people.
And is it true, Christy, that as a result of that case all those years ago, all of your songs now, they're legally vetted?
Well, for a period, when I was with a particular recording company at the time, and they insisted upon that. But as the years passed, you know, that hasn't been the case in Moree. Although, I mean, if I did have a song now that I was any doubt about it, I would run it past... I'd run it past somebody, all right.
And you're still in touch, obviously, with Antoinette and her family.
And I look forward to standing with them again next week.
And you built up a particular bond, I think, with Mrs. Keegan, Antoinette's mother, and the mother of the two young women who died, Martina and Mary.
And with their late husband, with John. I mean, over the years, we've stood together, and it's you know, there is a bond there. We don't meet that often. But the bond is still solid.
And are you hoping to see a big turnout then next Tuesday, Christy?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope that thousands will turn out to support the families.
And are you going to sing yourself on the day?
I've no idea, Sean. Whatever it takes, we'll do it.
Yeah, and Antoinette Keegan, is this really the last throw of the dice, if I can put it like that, on this campaign?
Well, it's in the public interest, right? The public is calling on this, right, for the inquest to be reopened. And we're actually pleading with the people of Ireland to come and support us that day. We need to get truth. We need to get closure. It is not the final, Sean, right, because after the 48,000 cards are delivered, there's more going to be revealed.
And you have further revelations to come, have you?
We have, yeah. Well, I won't reveal them now. The most important thing is today is to get out there to people of Ireland, right, to please come and support us on the 20th of November, starting at 11 a.m. at Westland Row, walking to the Attorney General.
And the card says simply, you've 48,000 of them signed by people calling on the Attorney General, Mr. Seamus Wolfe, to exercise his right under Section 24 of the Coroner's Act 1962 to grant a fresh inquest as soon as possible.
That's it.
Right, we'll leave it there. Look, thank you both indeed for joining us. Thank you so much indeed, Antoinette Keegan, Stardust Inquiry campaigner, and Christy Moore, my thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
And good morning.
Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.